the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Time for us to turn our attention to rugby. Alan Quinlan is with us. Alan, that was not a great weekend for Irish rugby. Ulster not at the races really at all. And Leinster absolutely pulverised in that opening 40 minutes to the point where it was essentially game over.
Yeah, disappointing weekend, Ger. There's no doubt about it. And it's not a huge shock that Saracens won on Saturday. I think Leinster were obviously favourites, given everything that has gone on with Saracens, the game being in Dublin. But the big fear in any of these games is the opposition start well away from home, and they're a confidence-based side, Saracens. And you could see how together they were, how determined they were. Their sole focus was this match. They were fresh. Their emotion was through the roof. And they just frustrated the life out of Leinster. And I think that's probably where Leinster failed. The set piece was poor, and they allowed the opposition to really unsettle them. A couple of times in the previous weeks, and particularly in the Munster games, Munster frustrated them a fair bit at the breakdown and stopped their flow. And that's what you do against Leinster. If I was going out analysing how do you beat Leinster, you stop them. You frustrate them. You get in amongst them. And they look like a team that probably have forgotten what that's like because of maybe the brilliant run they've been on, and they're excellent. So I don't think it was a case of Leinster switched off and they thought this was going to be easy. I just think that maybe just a couple of percent they were off in that first half, and whereas Saracens were just through the roof with their emotion and their aggression and intensity, and they threw everything at it. And then, you know, I think Leo Cullen talked about his frustration of Saracens players going down, the stop-start nature of the game. And that's the way that's what they do to the opposition. They really frustrate them. And Leinster were obviously way better in the second half, but just that scoreline was just too hard to claw. They're too good a side to claw them back from that much of a lead, even though Leinster, in fairness to them, and that's what'll frustrate him more, because what we saw in the second half was probably the true Leinster. They were just out of the blocks too late, and the power and the physicality of Saracens really unsettled them in that first half.
The power of the front five in particular from Saracens, and in the scrum. So the scrum was a complete disaster. The same way, like, I don't know if you remember specifically, Irish rugby went into this long, dark period of self-analysis after Tom Corr comes on and gets shifted onto the wrong side of the scrum all those years ago in Twickenham. That was like this massive turning point where there was a huge investment made in trying to find new props so that we would never be humiliated like that again in the scrum. And here we are, and we just don't have the strength and depth in the scrum. Once Tadhg Furlong is out, Andrew Porter is in, and if Andrew Porter is struggling, you're looking at the bench and it's Michael Benton. That's not good enough to win a Heineken Champions Cup quarter-final.
No, and they've been unlucky in that front with Tadhg Furlong out injured. It's a huge loss. So I don't think it was an individual who was being completely pulverised. If you go back to the Tom Court one, as a tight head, and any team who wants to be successful needs a good tight head. That's the anchor of your scrum. But I think it was a collective thing. The Leinster front row were a little bit high. Their body position wasn't good. And obviously they were coming up against a side, a front row that's top-class international front row, world-class. You know, Jamie George is the starting a hooker for England. Vunipola is for, you know, and both starting for the Lions, George and Vunipola in the last tour. Vincent Cock won a World Cup with South Africa. So they're coming up against probably some of the best you'll meet at that level. But I just think they were much too high. Sean Cronin came in for Ronan Kelleher. And they just seemed to be very disjointed. Even looking at Keane Healy's body position, he was twisting and turning a lot. Andrew Porter went down his knee a couple of times, was penalised for that. I'm not sure some of those penalties were definite penalties. I'd have issues with the decisions were made by the referee and a couple of them. But it's the perception of the referee, and if you get a couple of dominant ones, there's a natural inclination to go and give more. So one or two of them are harsh, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there was utter dominance there. James Ryan and Toner. He's not long back from injury, and Toner, they're not these big 120, even though Devin Toner is very, very tall and heavy. He's not a light, you know, he's not lacking for kilos. Their power and Itoje in the second row, and just a collective unit. I think Robin McBride, the pressure comes on him. Why didn't your scrum work? That's what Leo Cullen will want to know. And why was it like this? Couple of reasons. The opposition, as I said, were very, very good, and Leinster were very, very disjointed and maybe not tested in that manner in a long, long time. And that had played a factor in it as well.
When you pinpoint body position there, Alan, who's that down to when you're looking at the front row? Is it the coaching or the players themselves?
No, it's probably just subtle little changes of their bodies. And look, it's easy for someone to look back and pause it and see the body position in a different way. They're twisted, they're too high, they're not all in sync with each other. It's not a coaching thing. It's pressure as well. You know, it's pressure from the opposition. I paused it a good few times, and Vincent Cox's body position was as good as you'll get for a tight head. I know some tight heads bore in a little bit, and you could argue that there was a little bit of a twist inwards, but his body position was just like 90-degree angle. The back was dead straight. The hammers and glutes all loaded. Great position. Legs right up and under him. And he's a very good scrummager, but he's a very good technical scrummager. You know, you can have the biggest, heaviest guy in the world in there as a tight head. Like, Vincent Cox isn't a huge man. He's not this monster size, but technically he's very, very good. And when you have a tight head who can get that little nudge, that little bit of dominance, and as I said, George and Bruno Polo were putting massive pressure on as well. So they sense a bit of vulnerability. Like, there's lots of times in matches, teams conserve their energy because you can't target every single scrum to go 110%. There's certain areas of the field that you will just go for it. There's some that you just, you know, you'll let the opposition, you're not letting them win it without pressure, but you're not wasting energy. Saracens went for every single scrum the other day, and that tempo increased because of the vulnerability that was there. And sometimes it just all goes wrong. If Leinster forwards are going out this morning trying to get it right, there'd be a massive focus and onus on being much tighter as a group, making sure the back row are scrummaging as well. Caelan Doris and Will Connors a few times. Because of the threat of Bruno Polo as well, they're keeping their head up to try and see, is he going to pick and go off the side of the scrum? So I just don't think... I think as an eight, collectively, their scrummaging was... They let themselves down there.
So here's a team that hasn't lost a game since last year's European final, and now this year goes the whole way unbeaten through the league, and... again,
and the pool stages of Europe as well.
Yeah, and look, you don't want to overreact in the immediate aftermath of a defeat, but maybe if there's a yellow card in the second half for the clash of heads on Sexton, maybe that gets them back into the game. But you're kind of hoping that it's going to be a refereeing decision ultimately that changes the course of the match from a Leinster perspective, and essentially they're just in chase mode at that point, so they're kind of throwing caution to the wind. Like, the game is lost in the first half, and that's when they're called to do their job. And that's when, you know, they've been lining up the Saracens team for a long, long time. And it's a much weakened Saracens team. We kept getting told how weakened this team was. Their out half is gone because it looked like he'd self-sabotaged the previous week for no particular reason in a meaningless game. Like, it's hard also to understate how much of a crisis this feels like, where our best team, with all of the playing resources and all of the resources that they have, of young players coming through, are actually quite far off the elite of European rugby at the moment.
I don't think they are, Ger. I think Saracens were very shrewd in the way they played the game, and they're quite a cynical side, and sometimes, you know, cynicism can be a big advantage. We and Munster were probably criticised for that at times about, you know, entry points into breakdowns, being offside, whatever you like, slowing the game down, stopping the opposition. Saracens are and I applaud them for that. That's not a criticism. I think they're a nuisance to play against. You can't they give you no chance to kind of settle and relax in the game and kind of do your stuff, because there's constant pressure all the time. But Leinster have to look at themselves here. I don't think the gap is... I think if Leinster plays Saracens next Saturday, it'll still be a tight game, but I think Leinster will not come out as slow like they did. Their discipline will be so much better. They give away soft penalties, and I think their discipline the last few weeks, even in their dominance and winning matches, has been borderline, because they really, really push that offside line. And again, that can work in their advantage and can be a real positive. But I think they just needed to take a step back. They gave away a few soft penalties, aside from the scrum ones, which Saracens love. I said this on Friday, they're a 3-6-9-12 team who just tap the penalties over and they receive the kickoff and they get back down the field with a box kick, and it's more pressure, hoping for a knock-on, hoping for another penalty, put it in the corner, get their maul rumbling. It's very hard to play against that when they're very powerful and they hold on to the ball well.
The trouble is that we've seen the Ireland team get beaten by an England team doing this. And we actually saw this same performance from Leinster in last season's Champions Cup final. Like, maybe the Saracens team was significantly better than this team, and Leinster were supposed to be better than the Leinster team. So that's why it does feel like there is still that gap.
There's a psychological issue with this now, Ger. You go back to the World Cup warm-up, before they went to the World Cup, England hammered Ireland. Then we had the disappointment at the World Cup. Then you have this the Six Nations game, and the previous Six Nations game in January 2019, which was the start of all this. So it's a psychological effect now, and to change that, you've got to win a game. Ireland have to beat England, or one of the provinces have to beat Saracens, because the vast majority of them are... The English players are Saracens players, and look, there's a group of players there still within that Saracens team and squad who are mainly English players, who have that physicality and power. We don't have it. We have some players who are close to it and can provide great acceleration and power in the contact areas, but you don't have the same power. The Vunipola brothers, when they play for England or Saracens, make a huge difference. The tackles that they met on Saturday, the way they chopped Leinster down and just stopped them getting any sort of go-forward momentum in that first half. And even at times when Leinster were very good in the second half and they had Saracens under massive pressure, they just came up with big tackles. It just took away that little bit of impetus. And most teams would have buckled with that pressure that Leinster were putting them on in the second half. But you just got a sense, when it went to 22-17, you thought, you know, Leinster are going to do the job here, and they're going to win this game and turn it around. But Saracens showed, with experience and with calmness and with that power, that they could control that and absorb that. So they do have a little bit more power. And historically, English teams are always bigger than us, and they have that more power. They have more players to choose from. So I think there is a case of, and this is a challenge for Andy Farrell going forward, and it will be a challenge for Leo Cullen again when you pay Saracens, is finding a bit of variety, executing better, and not giving them what they want, which is openly said by Mark McCall, is they want penalties. They want to slow the game down. They want a box kick. Their kick chase is very good. We criticised Munsters in the semi-final a few weeks ago, but Wigglesworth box kicks yesterday or Saturday were top class. And sometimes it's just very hard to deal with that. So there has to be a bit more variety, but there also has to be a better continuity in attack, in holding on to the ball. And because they have the ability, these players have the ability, Atoja and the Vunipolos, of... even after 6, 7, 8, 10 phases of coming up with a big turnover or a massive tackle that just stops the whole flow. So it's difficult, and there's no quick fix to this. But, you know, I think you get into a little bit of a rut on a mental side of this, and it can affect them. And, you know, I don't think it was a huge mental thing on Saturday. I just think Leinster, for some reason, and maybe if it's down to a little bit a lower intensity in the Pro 14 that they've experienced in the last few weeks, that maybe they weren't battled hardened as much as they needed to be. You could argue that Saracens kind of mixed and matched for the last couple of weeks and didn't play their top players the week before. So there is an argument, there's counter arguments.
There is, because like, Saracens are playing in a league where it doesn't matter. None of those matches actually matter to them.
Yeah,
like, we were talking about this a little bit earlier on, about the depth of the Premiership is obviously significantly greater than the depth in the Pro 14. But you can also make the case that they were playing glorified friendlies in the build-up to this, and all of a sudden they come out against,
And Leinster, Leinster didn't cope with that emotion, because I think of this myself as a player. And if I told you, Ger, in a 1 month's time, you have a kind of backs to the wall game that if you lose it, you're kind of gone off the front, the back pages. You're gone to the championship. You're dropping down a league. But you win this one game and you can give the two fingers to everybody and you can shut up all the critics and you can really galvanize and take something massive out of really negative season for Saracens. And it's one off. Everyone thinks you're not going to lose. And you start preparing mentally for that. You can really, really get your focus into, and it doesn't matter if you don't play a game to that match. It's like you're going out throwing the kitchen sink, and you're, you know, coaches often say to players, particularly in underage teams, just bust your gut for 50, 60 minutes and we got to bring players on. And sometimes it's a mental thing, and it is a big intrigue of contact sport is that emotional pitch that you turn up with. Like, that's not to say that Leinster didn't turn up with a high emotion, but I think things were happening so well for them for so long that maybe there's an expectation that it will happen again. And, well, we know Saracens are going to come at us and we know they're going to be physical, but we're going to be ready for that. But were they really ready for that start? And no crowd there as well. And it diluted a little bit.
Do we need our teams to be more cynical, more streetwise, a bit more like your Munster team?
It helps sometimes, but you also get punished. I know that from my experience, giving away a penalty or something crucial. But I just felt Leinster a little bit were bullied in that first half, and I always hate to see that for any team. I've always told at a young age, set the tone early if you can, be physical, be aggressive earlier. And look, Leinster would have had that vibe going out there. I'm sure they were pumped up, ready to go, but they just made critical errors then with that pressure. So not being able to cope with that kind of pressure and not having that same kind of pressure against a very good side. We're talking a lot about, you know, the what ifs here, but Saracens were superb. They played and controlled the tempo of that game very well. So Leinster have got to figure out that. Ireland have got to figure out that better. And, you know, that will be the lingering frustration here because, like I said, Leinster were very, very dominant in that second half. And when it went back to 5 points, you think they're going to win it now. And that will linger with them for a bit as to why that happened and why they started so poorly in that at the start of the game.
And no one has any answers. Go on.
How do you manage the answers,
Ger, is there. The bench is an issue. Their set piece is an issue. Their overall depth isn't maybe as good as we think it is. So there is issues there. There's no doubt Leinster are not this formidable side that are unbeatable. I said this for the last couple of weeks. Munster showed frailties. Ulster did it a little bit in the first half.
They did, yeah.
It was too easy for them. They didn't try any points. You look at J.J. Henry and he kicks the two penalties. There's a maul at the end of the game. There's a couple of opportunities in that game that Munster could have met much tighter. Leinster deserved to win that semi-final. But you analyse that game and Martin McCall would have seen that. They're lacking a bit of a hard edge that they would have had, I think, before. There's a little bit of hardness gone out off that team at the moment and they've got to find that again. So the answers here are the set piece, the physicality, and some of the decision making and their discipline was poor. So they've got to get better at that. Just because you go on a massive winning run doesn't mean you can't improve anymore. They do have to get better and they've got to learn from this quickly because, you know, Joe Malai asked me yesterday in Virgin about, well, had they not learned from 2019? Well, maybe not. Maybe they expected it to happen, and maybe the worst thing that happened was Saracens lost all these players, and maybe some part of their mind thinks, well, they're not going to be as good as they were in 2019, and we're on this brilliant run. So it is a kind of a wake-up call again. And no matter what age you are as a player, whether you're 21 or 31, you learn experiences, hard experiences along the way, and sometimes you're just a couple of percent off. And Leinster mentally were off at the start of that game. And I guarantee you, you know, and I go back to that game in 09 when Leinster beat us. We were very dominant against Leinster in two games earlier that season. And everyone was saying we're going to win this game in Croke Park. And we spoke about it all week. I've said this many times about their reaction, what they're going to throw at us. And sometimes it's just nothing you can do. The bounce of the ball, the start of the game that time in 09. And that's what kind of happened with Sarries on Saturday. So the worrying part is there's a bit of a trend about the physicality and the power, as you say, with the English games.
Yeah. Just on Ulster then yesterday, Alan, if you're saying that Leinster got a bit of a wake-up call on Saturday, were Ulster ever in a mind space yesterday, in your opinion, where they felt they could actually win that game?
I don't think so. They didn't show it anyway. Could see him missing Tom O'Toole being out at the start, unsettled them. Will Addison's a loss to that team. So I think, you know, the injuries, Billy Byrne's gone off, the 6-2 split, not being able to bring Madigan on, I'm moving Michael Lowry up, and a lot of chopping and changing. But ultimately, and doing the commentary, or doing sitting in studio for the game, I just felt that, you know, the game was at 8-3, and you think, Jesus, they've had a couple of opportunities here and they haven't taken them, and they made some line breaks and just very, very sloppy. And I don't even think Toulouse were at their best. Toulouse were in third, maybe fourth a few times, and back down to third again. And Leinster just weren't good enough and lacked that punch. They tried hard for sure, but I think there was a few opportunities there that they didn't take yesterday. And some of the penalty, you know, there was one penalty there just after half time where they got turned over close to the Toulouse line, and Sean Reedy carries the ball, and it was after about two or three phases, and I just thought that kind of sums it up. Very close to the Toulouse line, great chance of building some pressure and getting a try, and they got turned over too easily. So did a lot of good things at different stages, but ultimately they were totally outclassed and never really in bar for 15-20 minute period when it was 8-3. They had a couple of opportunities. And if they'd gone in at half time, they conceded a try just before half time. If they'd gone in at half time on that scoreline, who knows? But Toulouse came out firing the second half and blew them away.
Pretty chastening weekend, all told. There's not much we can do with the absence of power, is there? Or like, do we just start putting our 12 and 14 year olds on a specific beef and milk diet, Alan, and doing weights?
No, I don't think so. I think it is a concern when you play against, like, you know, South Africa traditionally have always been the biggest side, and you know, we found plenty of ways to beat them on a number of occasions in the last 10 years. So you just got to be a little bit different, and I think maybe we're you know, we need to have evolve a little bit more in the way we play. We've plenty of talented players, but ideally you'd love to have not necessarily backs, because you know, a few big bruisers in the forwards and you know, traditional backies, both or Etzebeth type player, but you've just got to deal with what you have to deal with. I think Ryan Baird is a fantastic player. He showed incredible energy. Ronan Kelleher, when they came off the bench at the weekend, were very, very powerful. So it's not all about totally getting size. It's just been about better execution and having a little bit more, having some change in the way we play.
Yeah,
I think that will help.
All right, Alan, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.